You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Without further ado, the Dear Friends podcast. Dear friends, spill your woes to your musical family. Dear friends, they will take your questions and turn them into nuggets of wisdom and anecdotes in an otherwise cynical world. Dear friends.
Hi, I'm Dear Friend Emily.
I'm Dear Friend Christy.
And I'm Dearest Friend Jess, and welcome to Dear Friends, a write-in advice podcast for the musical minded. And it's been a while, and we're back together.
We're back, baby!
Hello!
Brought the old team back together!
I mean, in the time, Emily's put on 45 different shows, and Christy's traveled to 75 different countries. So, really, I'm the one that's slacking.
Yeah. So many children's shows, and then I had to throw my own show into the mix just to like prove I could. So, hey-o.
Theater and travel are back, baby.
Or certain values of back, yes.
Yeah, certain levels.
Yes. But that all ties into today's question. Are you guys ready to hear it?
Oh, I'm so ready.
Oh.
Today's question is from Colonel Pickering, who asks, what are your thoughts on the recent lifting of mask mandates on Broadway and masking in theater in general? Which I think is a good question and a controversial question.
Well, so I'm having a little personal experience with that right now to kind of kick it off. So I just did a show as part of the Hollywood Fringe Festival, which is, you know, like something like well over 100 small productions happening throughout Hollywood over like 3 weeks in June. And this is the first year it's been back, like, for real. And every venue was very adamant about checking vax cards at the door and audience being masked. Now, being on stage and seeing multiple productions, a lot of people take their masks off during the show. And last Saturday was, like, my big fringe show day where I went and watched a bunch of shows. And I was in, 50-seat, 99-seat houses with a lot of people, very packed in. And sure enough, 2 days later, everyone I know is getting COVID. Like, oh, so many people I know. And even we were supposed to have an encore performance of our show this weekend. But our tech director, our stage manager, who runs all the cues for all the shows in this certain venue, got COVID. So we had to postpone. And she was masked every time I saw her. But, you know, she was kind of encountering so many people, it felt kind of like an inevitability. And there's all these articles being written about, like, kind of in the LA Times right now about how kind of everyone's getting it right now. So speaking from someone who was in audiences with unmasked people and had a show postponed because someone got COVID, maybe keep wearing your damn masks so the actors can do a good show for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just me.
Yeah, as much as, you know, a lot of people know my day job is travel, so I'm kind of hitting this from both sides. But as much as we want COVID to be over and as much as we want to pretend it's over, it is not over. And I admit, personally, I have been a little more lax in my masking up in certain situations, but there are still like about a half a dozen places where I'm hard on that. And one of those is in theaters. Just because you are with a bunch of people, you're sitting all together, you know, elbow to elbow for 2.5 hours. I mean, the performers in many cases cannot mask up. So, you know, at least give them a little extra buffer.
And they're always being tested, at least with my productions out here. Mm-hmm. We're kind of like, you got to be vaxxed to do
this. Yeah. So, yeah. And my other hard ones are airplanes and medical offices.
It just makes sense to me because, like, think about how many times you've gone to the theater in your life and you're packed in with all these people. Mm-hmm. I saw the Hadestown tour recently at the Amundsen. Ooh. And
I need to get tickets for that. They're coming to Denver in fall, but anyway.
Oh, yes, you have to. It's so good. Mm-hmm. But it was the first time I think I had been in like a pretty big venue, seeing like a national tour in a while. And I remember when we were leaving, we were like sardines, like all walking mm-hmm. down the stairs at the same time. And I was like, people are gonna get COVID right now.
right.
Or like a really bad cold. You know, mm-hmm. I just got a bad cold last month. It wasn't COVID, but and I hadn't been sick in 2 or 3 years because I've been masking. So mm-hmm. and I was like, wow, I forgot how much this sucks. Like this really, really sucks. If I had just worn my mask, like maybe that time I went to the grocery store. You know, although the grocery store, I'm pretty much consistent.
I am particularly vulnerable to bronchial issues and, you know, con crud, cast crud, you know, any of that mm-hmm. stuff that, you know, circulates when you're mm-hmm. with a bunch of people in the same place for a period of time. So,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just like a courtesy to the actors. Like you're going there to see the people on stage. You don't want them to be masked. You want to see their faces and their performance. So mm-hmm. they take every precaution they can, especially in Broadway houses.
Yeah. And you don't want them to cancel because, you know, half the cast is sick.
Yeah. And don't whine about understudies. Like I love that we're in this era of celebrating understudies. You know, it's hard to be an understudy, but when it's like the West End right now, it's like every single day they're like, there's six understudies on and swings. And I'm like, maybe that's a problem. I don't know.
Yeah.
I agree. I also, there's the reverse problem where people are upset that the main cast is on. They wanted the understudy. Like things like that are now developing, which is a toxic in a different way. Forgive me if this is a too personal question to ask, but have any of us gotten the vid yet?
If I have, I have not known it.
All of your dear friends have been safe. Yeah.
And I'm swimming in COVID tests. I'm swimming in mm-hmm. tests because at the end of the school year, they just, you know, we got to this phase at our school where I teach where they weren't really like sending the kids home as much. You know, if there mm-hmm. was an exposure, they were just like, here's a bunch of COVID tests. And I was giving it to my students. And they'd be like, Miss Emily, I already have like 5 of these. I'm like, well, now you got 6. Like you just got all these tests. So I have a lot. So, you know, constantly checking and testing mm-hmm. is a big thing.
Mm-hmm. I leave for New York next week and I'm just half expecting to get COVID out there. I don't know why, but that's like an expectation I'm like expecting to have, and I'm like, I'm gonna quadruple mask, and everywhere I go I need to like bring a COVID test and my vax card. I'm still like, I don't trust it. I don't trust any of these things.
Yeah, and you're going to Broadway Con, right?
Yeah.
That feels like it's going to be
another place where there's going to be a lot of people, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I will say I do appreciate the preparation they're doing. You have to have a PCR test or whatever within the last 24 hours before even entering it.
Usually antigen is the one they want with that window, but yeah, whatever works.
Either way, they want you to bring your vax card and everything. Like I'm like, all right, that's, and you have to be masked. And I'm like, I'm okay with all of these things. It's just the airplane ride and walking the streets.
Yeah, I haven't done an airplane yet. That stresses me out a little bit. Christy, you've been dealing with it, right?
I have. Yeah. When we flew out to Italy, everybody was masked up on the way out, and then things got lifted in Italy on the way back. And so, you know, I think my husband and I, and maybe half a dozen other people. So it can be, you know, it's kind of frustrating. When we're in this position, when you want to mask up and everybody's like, whatever. And, you know, you do kind of feel like the odd person out and kind of like, you know, is this helping me? Is this helping anybody else? Or you know, am I just going to be like, you know, F it, you know, I can't do anything else about this. So I kind of get that frustration and, you know, I hate to say defeatism, but that's, you know, in some ways, where I am in some of these places, it's like, okay, you're not going to do anything. I don't know what I can do to help myself now.
Yeah, I did, you know, directed kids shows this year, and they were some of the first live performances where we had an audience there. And I had indignant parents, like irritated that they had to wear a mask. And they were like, I've been doing this for 2 years. And I'm like, well, I'm going to wear my mask because I'm the teacher and I'm going to set an example. And those are your children up there, mm-hmm. your children. So yeah. I guess it's up to you. Like, I was not going to get in fights with parents about this stuff after all this time. But it was just kind of like, okay, I care about the kids, so I'm going to keep my mask on. Mm-hmm. That's all.
I mean, it's because I'm a little more lax than I probably should be, honestly. Like, I take my cues based on who I'm around.
Yeah,
and I
fair.
Feel like
yeah,
the peer too. Pressure kind of side of my brain goes like, well, no one else has a mask on. I'll look like a weirdo with it on.
It's hard, though, like when you go to something like a restaurant or something or yes. a bar where you it might be smart to wear your mask. But on the other hand, you're like using
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it's very difficult. Yeah. You know, that's what actually the hardest thing about doing it on the plane. It's like, OK, you know, I got to, you know, drop this every time or get some Skittles or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I know we've all become a little more lax about it for sure. I don't want to act like I'm the the bastion of like not wearing or wearing a mask, you know. But like to me, the theater, it just feels like a no-brainer. You know, you're mm-hmm. in a enclosed space, unless you're in an outdoor amphitheater or something. You're in an enclosed space, packed in tight with other people
yeah.
for like
yeah.
a couple hours sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think some of that, you know, being lax is from the fact that, you know, as far as I know, you know, all three of us are fairly healthy, youngish people, you know, who don't, you know, who don't, you know, have to worry about immunity issues or things like that. So,
yeah, I
that's
mean,
the other thing, you know, it's that yeah. we're kind of lucky in that sense and not everybody is.
Yeah. I mean, I have asthma. So, like, if I got COVID, it wouldn't be great. but then again, like, I mean, I don't know. I have no idea how it would affect me now, you know, because I'm vaxxed and everything and it affects mm-hmm. everyone differently. So I don't want to find out.
Yeah. There
is that. Yeah. I'd rather just avoid that altogether.
Yeah.
But yeah, it seems to me like if you're going, it's like these social pacts we make with each other, right? Like, mm-hmm. like wearing shoes or like, common courtesy, applauding when a song is over. It just feels like another thing to do to make sure everyone's mm-hmm. safe. And then you think about some actors, especially in like the Broadway community, who, ooh, you yeah. know, most of them are vaxxed, but we know of some
who are, you know, resentful about it.
You know, Cora Osnes.
Mm-hmm.
And then there were even names.
Yeah,
yeah. There were even like kind of what you, I guess, non-problematic Broadway people who were like, "Wee, the mask mandate's being lifted." And you're like,
"Oh, I know who we're subtweeting."
Yeah. It's like, okay, well, you know, I guess if you've got a mask covering half your face, that works, yeah. sir. But
it doesn't do much for like the, you know, airflow, but.
Yeah. I just don't know why. And then even now, like, I think I just saw a couple tweets from Broadway people who were like, I got COVID. And it's like,
yeah go figure.
Here we go. Here
oh,
we go.
You
it
mean like a huge jackass who had COVID and performed at the Tonys and then it was like, oh, the new boy,
do
I got COVID.
Do you remember that close-up on his face?
Oh, my God. You know, you looked at him and it was like, oh, my God.
Like
he, like, ate badly? And it's like, yeah. Nope, he was just freaking sick when he did that.
Like, whatever we all feel about Hugh Jackman as Harold Hill, we can all agree that like he's like a good looking guy. And when that first close up happened on him, 76 trombones, like his eyes were red and his face looked weary
yeah.
and wrinkled. And then the next day he's like, oop, beep, boop, 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 I got COVID. It's
yeah.
like, good. I'm glad you blasted your face out in that slow warbly vibrato
yeah,
to all those
yeah.
unmasked Broadway stars.
Yeah,
I know we've already done an entire
child cast. Nice.
Oh, yeah. All the children in the show. Oh, my God.
I just know that we've already shit on Hugh Jackman a bunch. But, my God, there is not a vocal role that needs less vibrato than fucking Harold Hill.
Harold Hill. What the heck were they doing? Why are they doing 76 trombones legato? Is
big
a march.
Bassoons, each
76
bassoon.
Trombones. What the?
Because it's the mega mix they do for the bows.
Yeah, I know, but still, it's you know.
Is this the reason
Marcato
why they made Trouble Scooter?
Yeah, that's probably why. God.
Yeah.
Well, you got trouble, my friends.
Right here in River City.
Oh, yeah. You got trouble.
We've gone off on a tangent.
I know.
But it's all connected to the,
it
the
is.
High of COVID, because it's not over. A lot of my friends got it. A lot of people I know died of it within the last year. It's not something that's going away anytime soon, sadly enough. I know that our government is destroying our liberties in different ways, but we kind of need to.
There's also so much
figure
to
out
think about that. Right now.
Who would have thought that, like, every year would get progressively worse? Like, I look back at 2015 and everyone was calling it the worst year ever. And I'm like, oh, I wish I could go back to 2015.
Can you even imagine? Wear your masks, people.
Wear your mask.
Take care of each other, you know.
Wear your mask to the theater, at least.
At the bare minimum. Yeah. Get your shots. If you can get the second booster, get the second booster.
Get your third booster.
If you haven't got your first, if you haven't gotten the booster and you're eligible, get the freaking booster.
Oh my gosh, get it. It's the best.
It's a really rough night, though, I will admit. That booster night, it beat the shit out of me.
Yeah.
Every time I've gotten a shot, it's pretty bad.
I swear, it's first time, I got the J&J and I was like, okay, I'm fine. And then I think we did Moderna for the booster and I was like,
My kids were the same.
Yeah.
I'm a Moderna girl, kicked my ass all three times. Woo.
Yeah. And then my kids, they got Pfizer, first 2 months. They're like, we're okay. And then we got them the booster last month. And then, Eric's like, I'm tired, Mom. I hurt. I'm like, sorry, bud.
Every muscle in my body just contracted to a point where when the morning came, I'm like, I cannot move. I can't get up.
I'd rather have just a day of feeling kind of yucky than COVID, though.
Yeah.
And you gotta
people that still can't eat.
Yeah.
I went to kind of the local Rite Aid, a couple weeks ago. And I was going to the pharmacy. I was masked. The guy behind the counter was masked. And this woman came up and she had a little kid. And the little kid started kind of messing with me. So I was kind of playing with the little kid a bit. And I was like, oh, she looks a little, distracted. So I was playing with the kid. And then she saw my mask and she starts talking to the pharmacist and going, the vaccine is killing people. My dad died of the vaccine. And she went on this whole tangent and the pharmacist was like, I think about that all the time. And then she left and he and I just looked at each other like,
what the
fuck? Yeah. The misinformation is...
It's hard. Yeah,
and this is a liberal area. This is a very progressive area.
Oh,
geez,
God. I'm in the freaking Bible Belt of my state. So imagine how much worse it is. Here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It was weird. It felt like she was trying to give it to me because I had my mask on, but I just kind of ignored her. I was like, I'm not going to feed into this. I'm not going to. Nope. Oh, it was also, I remember why it stuck with me because it was my dad's birthday and my dad died a couple years ago. So I was standing there going, I was like, I'm sure your dad died of a vaccine. I'm sure. That's great. I didn't get to see my dad when he died because of COVID. It's fun. It's a great time. We're living in a great time. What a time to be alive. What a time to be starting out.
I will say, it is a great time.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a great time because I know both of you two, and that makes this time the best time.
Yeah,
yes, we have each other.
Yes. So when the world does eventually die in its heat fire, I'll at least know, I knew Emily and Christy, and that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and we wore our masks to theatrical events.
Yeah, I think it will get to the point where we don't have to do that on the regular, or at least, only have to do it if we're symptomatic or whatever, but it's not right now.
No. I will say, when I'm seeing Into the Woods in New York next week, it's going to be a lot of fun.
Nothing wrong with just masks being an accessory. Oh, yay!
I
want to go to New York at the end of July so I can actually see it.
Yeah, I will say that when I bought the tickets, the masking was required, and then they changed it 2 weeks after I bought the tickets, and I was like, I don't like that as much.
You don't want to get Sarah Bareilles sick. That's all I'm going to say.
Yeah,
I would much prefer her than Brian D'Arcy James. That one would hurt more for me.
The Dors. I just want the Dors to be okay, man.
Yeah, I mean that cast. If we're gonna do a segue briefly into the Woods cast, what do you guys think of that?
I think it's very well loaded cast. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, anything to erase the memory of that, like, what, 2003, 2004 revival? That was really bad.
I want you to go on your rant. What's so bad about the 2002 revival? Because I kind of like that album.
I saw it at the Amundsen. There were a few things. They made the stage, like, freaking storybooks. Like, the whole set was, like, storybook. It was very, like, Disney. So it's like Jack's house was like a storybook that opened. They had two wolves for no reason other than I think they wanted to give Chris Sieber something to do.
The two princes, so, I guess.
Yeah. So that was weird. And then he starts chasing the little pigs off stage. And then I was like, fuck you. they younged down Jack and Little Red, which I get why. And, you know, it works in like the movie version, but I didn't like it. It just kind of was soulless. It just kind of felt like they weren't bringing anything new. The only choice that they made that I kind of liked was when Vanessa Williams did Last Midnight. Rather than her kind of like disappearing in a bunch of magic, she starts like taking like her costume off. So she was like taking her wig off. And so she's like in her
very
wig cap.
Pippin.
Very Pippin. Yeah. And I will say Laura Benanti was the best thing. She was the best thing. She was the funniest Cinderella I had ever seen. But yeah, you know, some 20 years later, all I have is like this vague feeling where I was watching it and going, and then I remember listening to the album and I was like, I could just be listening to the original recording and be happier. So God bless them.
I really agree with that. However, the one thing I do really love unadulterated about that 2002 production is the Milky White. The Milky White really does.
Chad Kimball as Milky White.
Now I don't love him.
Yep.
Not as big a fan anymore.
And he stole the show. Yeah.
I like the current Milky White. That puppet, the puppet's fantastic.
Yeah.
I kind of like that found object art, and it's like, yeah, this is like $25 worth of material, but we are just gonna, you know, do amazing shit with it. So
I love that stuff. Chad Kimball is our other
he has issues. Yes.
My husband has met him a few times.
He wasn't going to come from away pro shot, and we are happy.
Your husband met him a few times? Oh, my gosh.
And he even before everyone kind of knew about him, he was like, that guy is a jerk. I was like, why? He's like, he's just a jerk.
Jeff, I need Jeff to spill the tea on everything when I meet you guys in person. I'm like, I have specific like itemized questions.
He has so many stories from over the years. Also just like a lot of people he worked with, you know, ex-girlfriends, you know, went on to be in Broadway shows.
Wasn't he in Aaron Tveit in the same Rent cast as him, or was that someone else?
Yeah, Aaron Tveit joined one of the tours of Rent that he was on. So he knew him. He said they called him Tivy. And then, you know, Jeff was with Rebecca Jones for years and years and years. I think he and Tveit and Rebecca Jones were all in Rent together. Yeah. But then there's some detailed story about him. Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy. He ended up, you know, getting Next to Normal and then blowing up. But he has, you know, he was around for the entire gestation of Passing Strange, kind of from Berkeley to Broadway. So that's fascinating. So that's really cool. But yeah, he's got a lot of stories. National tours with Cindy Williams, doing Grease with Cindy Williams and shit. So there's a lot. Peasants Feast with the Larsons.
Oh my gosh.
I know. What a life.
And you know what the most interesting thing he did? He married Emily Clark, and that's the best person he knows.
Hey. Well, that and he played Buzz Lightyear in a musical, so.
Last Toy Story musical. The last Toy Story musical on the Disney whatever cruise ship. They let that show rot away. So that they didn't fix a goddamn thing in that last run because they were like, whatever. I mean, we could afford it, but whatever.
Yeah.
we're going to make room for Frozen. So yeah, he was the last Buzz Lightyear on the cruise ship. And by that point, his helmet wasn't even working. So when he entered the scene, he's supposed to like take the helmet off, you know, and then breathe the air. Jeff had to just walk in and be like holding his breath. holding his breath. And then he would go, and like he just had to do that because Disney was like, Disney Cruise Line.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, that's a pretty premium price. So yeah, they can afford it.
Yes. Yes. I would have never been able to go on those cruises if I wasn't like sleeping down in the lower deck with the help.
Yeah.
They call Buzz Lightyear the help?
No, like the performers. Like Jeff was a main stage performer. He had one of the better rooms. Like he had like a room that he didn't have to share, right? And these are tiny, tiny rooms.
Oh, yeah.
I remember a couple.
Yes, that had- Or like, oh, you know, yeah. Tight.
Small. And so I would stay with him and, you know, we'd be fine. But like he would have like gatherings with some of the other performers. And like, I remember a couple gals came in once and they were like, oh my God, like this is bigger than our room and we have to share a room. So like, if you're like playing a chipmunk or like a face character or something like that, mm-hmm. you won't do as well as like if you're Buzz Lightyear. And then I don't even want to get started on the people who aren't performers. Like it's not great, but whatever, it's Disney.
On that note, wear your mask to the fucking theater.
Yes. Cruise ship shows, wear your masks.
Yes. Yeah. Why don't you guys promote your incredible work for the world to find? Emily, why don't you start?
Yes. Well, you can find me at Stealing Focus on YouTube. I'm finally getting back into it and finally making videos. I'm working on a video where these two people make some cameos. So you're going to have to check that out.
I completely forgot I did that too.
Yes, I can't wait for this next subject though. This is going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah. But yeah, Stealing Focus. And then you can find me at Emily A. B. Clark on all the socials across the universe that you'll find mm-hmm. like a nearly 40-year-old woman on.
I do want to say you should check out the Forgotten Legacy of Shuffle Along featuring two of my good friends, Philip Sean Devon and Cam Blackwell, as well as Emily's incredible well-researched mm-hmm. stuff.
Oh, yeah. My friend Philip, who I interviewed, who was in the original production of Shuffle Along, just posted that he's going to be playing like one of the Nicholas brothers at Carnegie Hall.
Ooh!
In a show about Dorothy Dandridge, like literally right before it came on. I know. I was like, dude, that's the dream. So Nicholas Brothers, Carnegie Hall, man.
If they like recreate that choreography, that's going to be lit.
Incredible. Yeah. So Stealing Focus. Hey. Mm-hmm.
And Christy, how about your incredible stuff?
I am at Musical Hill on YouTube, Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, sorted places. I have merch. I do videos mostly about bad musicals, but occasionally about good ones kind of tangentially. And yeah, check me out. I've got a Patreon. I've got merch. I said that.
I do want to say that your most recent video on the journey back to Oz, which is incredible. I really, really like that. Fantastic work, Christy.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Mm-hmm.
And you can find me at Musicals or Cheese. I do a dumb podcast. It's whatever. All right, guys. We'll wrap this one up and we'll see you next time on the Dear Friends podcast.
Bye.
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 Dear friends, spill your woes to your musical family. Dear friends, they will take your questions and turn them into nuggets of wisdom and anecdotes in an otherwise cynical world. Dear friends.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.